In preparation for the message this morning, I'm going to have two things put up on the screen. Now, one, these two short messages are for believers. If you say, I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I have repented of my sin, Jesus Christ has come to live in me, wash my sins away, I'm a new creation in Christ, I'm not living the way I used to live. I no longer practice sin. I'm practicing righteousness. Now, if you are a born-again child of God, and this is for you. This is not for religious people. It's not for people who are trying to work their way to heaven. But it's for those who can say, God is my Father, and Jesus Christ is my Savior. The first one is by A.W. Tozer. And you gotta be look at this because it's profound, but it's not easy to get a hold of. It says, to the child of God, there is no such thing as an accident. He travels an appointed way. Accidents may indeed appear to befall him, and misfortune may stalk his way. But these evils will be so in appearance only. These evils will be so in appearance only and will seem evil only because we cannot read the secret script of God's providence. That's something for you to think about. You say, well, that was an accident. But then as a believer, you know, you say, well, wait a minute. I just can't look at what I see. I got to look at what I can't see. And there's no accident in the life of a child of God. And so that'll be helpful to you. Now, the next one is one of the greatest things of how to handle trouble that I've ever read in my life. It's by Andrew Murray, great, great man of God. And he's talking about where I am when I'm in trouble. There are four things he says. Now, if you've got troubles in your life, you need to listen to this. First, God brought me here. It is by his will that I am in this strait. It is by his will that I am in this strait place. In that, I will rest. Next, he will keep me in his love and give me grace in this trial to behave as a child of God. Then, he will make the trial a blessing, teaching me the lessons that he intends me to learn and working in me the grace that he means to bestow. Last, in his good time, he can bring me out again. How and when, he knows. And then the statement, I want y'all to say here with me, this with me. Number one, by God's appointment, in his keeping, under his training for this time. When you're in a time of trouble or testing. I'm going to read three scriptures that are very, very important. And out of these three scriptures will be the message that I bring this morning. And if I had a title, it would be, Are You Self-Sufficient or God-Sufficient? Or Are You Self-Conscious or God conscious? As much difference as night and day. Self-sufficient or God sufficient? Self-conscious or God's conscious? Let's look at these scriptures. Psalm 37. It's a very familiar psalm. And we're going to begin reading in verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Isn't that amazing? He says, delight yourself in the Lord. The burden of the Lord is easy, not hard. His grace is sufficient, not short. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. See, if you're delighting in the Lord, you will want what he wants. You will want what he wants, and then he can give you the desire of your heart. We read in the next verse, in Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Now that's pretty clear. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. Trust in Him. And He will bring it to pass. Now think about this. Your part is to commit your way to the Lord and to trust Him. But what is His part? He, not you, He will bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Verse 7. Now listen to this. But what a great word. No matter where you are in your life and what you're going through. Rest in the Lord. For that's a good place to rest. It doesn't say rest in your circumstances. Rest in everything that's going on around you. Didn't say rest in what you don't understand and don't know what's going to happen. It says rest in the Lord and wait patiently. Well, that's hard, isn't it? Wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in the way, because of man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, do not fret, it only causes harm. And then over in verses 23 and 24 of Psalm 37. Now this ought to encourage you today that as a child of God, there are no accidents. God's got His hand on you. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The only good man is the man that is robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. All of our goodness is as filthy rags. But when we get saved and God gives us the righteousness of Jesus, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And He delights in His way. This will help you. Though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down. Glory to God. Though he fall, he will not utterly be cast down. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. My God, what a promise. How many times have we failed? And we said, Lord, I don't know if I can get up, but here comes Jesus. Hallelujah. And lifts us up. And then you go on, and this is the next passage I want to read. It's in Proverbs 3, 5 through 12. See, these are the basis for what I'm going to preach, the message I'm going to give you this morning. Trust in the Lord with half of your heart. That's the way some religious people live. They trust in the Lord from 10 till 11. Then they'll see Him next week. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Boy, you better underline this. Lean not to your own understanding. There will be times when you don't understand. So don't trust in your own understanding. In all your ways. You mean all my ways? He said, in all your ways acknowledge Him. Lord, this is what I'm planning. Is it okay? And you feel the Lord directing you. Lord, if that's you, I'll do it. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Thank God. We don't have to make choices just by our own wisdom. There's a Holy Spirit that lives in us. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Boy, this is a hard one in verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Sometimes we're too smart for our own good. We need God's wisdom. But we run ahead of God and start acting in our wisdom. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't despise it when God corrects you. Don't detest his correction. Now listen to what it says. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. I'm so thankful for that. As a Christian, I'm going to tell you, you can't get away with nothing. I want you to know that right now. God will be right on your trail, and he will correct you. Now, if he doesn't correct you, you need to get saved. If you're not corrected by God, then where's the presence of the Holy Spirit? Whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son, in whom he delights. All right, then the last one I want to read. Boy, this is, oh, I don't know. Everybody ought to have this where they could read it every day. They should have it somewhere where they would see it. You will keep him in perfect peace. Man, peace, peace. God's peace. Peace. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. You're God conscious. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. You're God conscious because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For Yahweh, the Lord, is everlasting strength. Now, in light of those verses, I want to ask you five questions. True or false? Now, I want you to answer them honestly in your heart. And you will soon find out, by the way you answer these questions, if you're God-sufficient or self-sufficient, or you are self-conscious or God-conscious. Here's the first question. You do not have to understand everything. True or false? You don't have to answer it out loud. You do not have to understand everything. Now, is that a struggle in your life? Here's the second thing. You do not have to control everything. You do not. You don't have to understand everything. You don't have to control everything. And you do not have to fix everything. Boy, I tell you what. The biggest trap you can fall in is to be a fixer. To try to fix everybody. You know. I used to feel like that everything that in my wife that bothered her, I needed to fix it. First of all, she don't want me to fix it. I'm just saying that in passing. But do you feel like you got to fix everything? Well, that's a heavy burden. I mean, that is a heavy burden. There's some things most things you cannot fix. And then the next thing is, you do not have to understand everything. You do not have to control everything. You do not have to fix everything. This is good. You don't have to please everybody. You do not have to please everybody. You just have to please God. And if you please God, most people that you deal with will be pleased. But there's some people that nothing you could do would ever please them. So don't waste your time. You do not have to please everybody. And here's the last one and most important. You do not have to handle everything in your own wisdom. Now let me say this slowly. You do not have to handle things in your own wisdom, in your own strength, and in your own power. You do not have to handle everything, control everything, fix everything in your own wisdom, your own strength, and your own power. So, with those in mind, let me just share three or four things with you. About so you'll know if you're God-sufficient or self-sufficient, or if you're God-conscious or self-conscious. All right, here's the first thing. The first truth we learn from the scriptures that I just read to you, the first truth that we learn from these scriptures is that we must have a heart relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Now, I chose those words particularly for the truths I have just read to be true from the scriptures, to be true in your life. You have to have a heart relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. You know, many people have a head relationship. They have an intellectual knowledge of God. I believe there's one God. They have an intellectual knowledge of Jesus. I believe Jesus was the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe God raised him from the dead. Intellectually, they're exactly correct. But an intellectual knowledge of Jesus, of God through Jesus Christ, won't get it done. It says here that you have to have a heart relationship. You know, I heard somebody describe the heart in a way that I've always called it the soul. But the Bible says if you believe with your heart and it speaks about the heart, he'll give us a new heart. He said that the heart of man or woman is his mind, the way he thinks, his emotions, the way he feels, and his will, the way he acts. So if you have a heart relationship with God through Jesus Christ, it means with your mind, emotions, and will, you are in a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ, the Son. But not only do we have a heart relationship by our mind, emotions, and will, but by our spirit. You see, animals are controlled by instinct. And by the way, they have tremendous instinct. I have never ceased to be amazed at the instinct that animals have. God gave them a body. He gave them a mind. He gave them emotions. But he did not give them the same spirit as the spirit of man. But he said, you won't be controlled by the Spirit of God. You'll be controlled by your instincts. It's amazing about that. Now, just this week, I want to tell you what happened a couple of nights ago. My grandson, Brandon, had a dog that he had purchased, and it was a big dog. I mean, too big a dog. Well, he chased cars. That does not work if you were a big dog. And so the dog was hit by a car somewhere on Repo Road and made his way back to home, made his way back to his house and laid down and died. I said, you know, he wanted to go home and die at home. Man, that's amazing. Well, my granddaughter Kelly is staying with Brenda and Jeff now, and she has a dog, and he's kind of a big dog. I don't know why they get these big dogs. But he has slept with her every night since she's had that dog when she was there. That night, he would not sleep with her. He went over to Brandon, where Brandon was sleeping, and he lay down on top of Brandon and slept the night. You know why? Because he knew Brandon. He knew that Brandon had lost his best friend. He knew, hey, listen, sometimes animals have more compassion than humans. But that's instinct. That just shows you. But you see, you and I have something greater than instinct. We have the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God comes to live in us. And we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And it's not an intellectual relationship. It's not. It's not just an emotional relationship. It is a relationship of faith where you are trusting Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin. You're trusting Jesus to be the strength of your life. You're trusting Jesus never to leave you nor forsake you. You're trusting Jesus that nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I feel so sorry for those who only have an intellectual knowledge or historical knowledge of Jesus. And my passion is that they'll get to know Jesus as their best friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. And I want to tell you, Jesus is the kind of friend that when everybody else is walking out, Jesus walks in. That's a friend. So what I'm saying is, if you are going to be God conscious and not self-conscious, if you are going to be God-sufficient instead of self-sufficient, you have to have a relationship with Jesus. Look at these verses. Psalm 37, 4 and 7. Look at what it says. Delight yourself in the Lord. That means you delight in the Lord. God's not some angry God up there just waiting for you to make a mistake so he can hit you upside the head. God is a loving father who loves his children and wants to embrace them and help them through life. He says, just delight yourself in the God that loves you. Delight yourself in the God who cares for you. Delight yourself in Jesus. He's always there for you. Delight yourself in Jesus, who knows you better than anybody else but loves you more than anybody else does. Man, that's a heart relationship. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Verse 7 says, rest in the Lord, man. Listen, when troubles come, heartache comes, sorrow comes, disappointment comes, failure comes, hey, listen, what we got to do is believe what the Bible says, that God loves us. And if there's been evil, if we'll repent, he will forgive us and forget about it. He'll lift us up. And then we've got to just rest patiently in him. You know, Brother Fred, there's something I've been waiting on God to do for 10 years. Okay. There's no time limit with God. God's eternal. 10 years is like, to him is like a millionth of a second. But I'm so impatient. Yeah, that's your problem. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. You know, you pray for somebody for year after year after year, and then nothing happens, and all of a sudden God moves in and a miracle occurs. You're walking with God in victory, and you're overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil, and then the devil blindsides you, knocks you off your feet, and the devil says, see there, you'll never get up. You'll never make it. You'll never do it. But I guarantee you, all you got to do is say, wait a minute. I'm just going to rest in the Lord. I'm going to wait patiently for him, and he will lift me up. You got to rest in the Lord. That's a heart relationship with God. You can rest in him. Over in Proverbs 3, 5, and 7, it talks about a heart relationship. Listen to what this says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Didn't say your intellect. Didn't say your traditions. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your emotion, your will. God, I'm in your hands. I am in your hands. I am a child of the living God, and you are responsible for me. I'm in your hands, Lord. And I'm going to trust in you with all my heart. And look at this. Lean not to your own understanding. You don't have to understand everything. You know, if you try to understand everything, you'll get on a pity party and feel sorry for yourself. Well, I see so-and-so over there and his wife, and they seem to have a wonderful, wonderful marriage. And then I see me and my wife, and we're somewhere on a scale of 1 to 10. We're about a 3. You don't need to lean to your own understanding. If you prayed about who you married and you married them, then you're in the will of God. You're in the will of God. And even if you didn't pray about it and you're married, you're still in the will of God now. You can't be like the man that wore his ring finger on the other hand. They said, why have you got your ring on the wrong hand? He said, I married the wrong woman. You can't do that. Well, you see, my wife is a godly woman, you say. But why is she sick? Or my child, I raised him right. But he seems to be drawn by the world and is going the way of the world. God, I don't understand it. I don't understand that. God said, you've got to rest in me. You've got to wait patient with me. You've got to trust me. You can't lean to your own understanding. And then he said, in all your ways, just acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. You know, in Proverbs, in Isaiah, let me tell you what a heart relationship is with Jesus. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. You will keep him in perfect peace. Perfect peace? You say, I'd just settle for peace, Brother Fred. Well, you could. But you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. I tell you, if I get my mind on myself, I get discouraged. If I get my mind on my circumstances, I get discouraged. If I look at this wicked, sinful world that I got to live in every day, I get discouraged. But buddy, as long as I keep my mind on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, no matter what's going on in my life, there is peace. And it is the peace of God. Don't let your mind be stayed on your failure. Don't let it be stayed on your circumstance. You will keep him in perfect peace. Got a heart relationship with God through Jesus. You are truly born again. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. And verse 4 it says, trust in the Lord forever, for Yahweh, the Lord, I love this, is everlasting strength. On the way to church this morning, I said to the Lord, Lord, I'm helpless. I'm helpless. I can't do anything without you. I can't. I'm helpless. And Lord, I have no strength. You're my strength. And I want to tell you, if you don't know you're helpless, I want to tell you, you are. And if you're trusting in any strength other than Jesus, you're in big trouble. I'm telling you. Because you know without, you know, why don't we believe what Jesus said in John 15? Without me, you can do what? Say it. Nothing. I looked that word up. It means nothing. So I struggle and strive and I'm going to do it if it kills me. It will kill me. A heart relationship with Jesus. Well, these verses show us that we don't have to understand everything. We don't have to control everything. We don't have to fix everything. We don't have to please everybody. What we've got to do is find our heart relationship with Jesus, the Father through Jesus, and rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him, commit our way to him, and trust him, and he will bring it to pass. You have to be God-conscious, not self-conscious. And you have to be God-sufficient, not self-sufficient. Because nobody in this world can live the Christian life in their own strength. But here's another truth that comes in here. That we have to learn that we have to have a heart relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But the second thing these scriptures teach us, we have to look to the Father, we have to look to Jesus in every situation of life. In every situation. Not just the bad ones, but the good ones. You look to God in every situation. You know, it says here, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. So, good things happen in your life. You get the raise that you hoped you would get. Your child is walking in the right way like you prayed he would. And your relationships with people are good. And it seems like that everything's running, going well right now. So what you do, you just keep your mind on the Lord. And say, Lord, don't let me mess that up. I just want to keep my mind and my heart on you when everything's good. I just want to praise you. I just want to rejoice in you. That's what I want to do. But then the same thing is the opposite. In every situation, you've got to look to Jesus. Every situation. You got to look to him. You say, well, I just look to Jesus in the big things. Okay, let me tell you what do. You don't look to Jesus in the little things, and soon you will have the big things. I promise you right now. You see, it doesn't come in like a thunderstorm every time. It comes in like a sprinkle, a few drops of rain. No big deal. I can handle that. Oh, I can control that. I can fix that. But you find out it just gets raining harder and harder and harder. And the thunder starts rolling and the lightning starts striking. You say, man, I better cry out to God. Yeah, you should have started back there when it was sprinkling. That's when you should have started. Because, boy, if you don't deal with it, the devil will see and the flesh will see that it becomes a big thing. I love Proverbs 3:6, where it says, in all your ways acknowledge him. Look to Jesus in everything, and he will direct your paths. I love Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. You know, I read this not recently, and it's been with me ever since. Faith is not a one-time act. Now stay with me. Faith is not a one-time act. It is a continuous gaze at the triune God. Now, I want you to think about that. Faith is just not a one-time act. Well, Lord, I'm looking to you. No, faith is a continuous gaze at the triune God. That's what faith is. You're not looking to yourself. You're not looking to your ability. You're not looking to your wisdom. You say, well, Brother Fred, I mean, if I don't look to my strength and my ability and all that, I won't get any glory. God said you never would get the glory. You say, well, I want everybody to know how smart I am. You got a problem. That's called pride, P-R-I-D-E. You know what? You know when you please God? When you look at him and say, Lord, you live in me and everything I need. All I need I find in Jesus. Oh, all I need. But Lord, I want you to know I'm helpless. I can't do this. I cannot fix it. I cannot control it. I don't understand it. But Lord, I'm trusting in you. You're holding on to me, Lord. But I'm looking to you. Hey, by the way, this verse just absolutely blessed my socks off. And that is this. Not only are do you look to Jesus, but guess what? God says when you look to him, he will guide you by his eye. He will guide you by his eye. Psalm 32, verse 8. I want you to listen to this. This is a powerful word. Psalm 32, 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Do you need for God to instruct you and teach you in the way you should go? If you do, say amen. Amen. And then he said, I will guide you with my eye. You got to be looking him in the eyes for him to lead you. He said, I'll guide you with my eye. Have you ever noticed? You can tell what's going on in people's lives by you look in their eyes. You know, the eyes are the windows of the soul. And you know, in athletics, one thing that you learn to do if you're playing a sport is you watch a person's eyes and you can tell which way they're going to go or what they're going to do. But the Father said, I'll instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. But I'm going to guide you by my eye, so your eye has got to be fixed on my eye so that I can guide you. You say, Brother Fred, you know, living this life as a Christian is 24 hours a day. Amen. It is. It is. It's full time. But I tell you what, I'd rather live this life in the power of Jesus than to struggle in my own strength. Amen. You say, but I just struggle. Well, quit. Start looking to Jesus. Start trusting Him. Listen, He's just not somebody that lived 2,000 years ago. I want to say glory to God. Jesus is alive right now. And if you are His child, He's alive in you. So why do you try to do it in your own power when the Son of God lives in you by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you can do it not by your strength, but by the power of the living God? His name is Jesus. So we got to look to Jesus in everything. All right, so how do you keep your eyes on Jesus? I'll just give you two words. First of all, you got to trust Him. That's what faith is trusting Him. Proverbs 3:5. Notice what it says. Trust in the Lord. You got to trust Him with all your heart. So, Lord, I don't like this job, but I believe You gave it to me. And so, Lord, if I'm going to do this job for Your glory, I'm going to have to trust You to give me the desire and to give me the wisdom and to lead me. Now, I believe You brought me here, Lord. And so, therefore, I am going to trust You that what seems to be bad, God, You're going to be working for good. And in the end, there will be the fruit of being in the center of the will of God, which is peace. You've got to trust Him. It's easy to trust Him for $50 that you need when you got it in your hand. But it's another thing to trust Him when you need $50 and you don't have anything in your hand. Well, you trust Him. You ask Him for it. You ask Him. You say, He doesn't care about it. Yes, He does. You say, but I wasted the money I had. Well, repent and then look to Jesus for your supply. You got to trust in the Lord. And then you got to let Him to guide you by His eye. Keep your eye on Him and let Him guide you by His eye. So we got to trust Him. That's what looking to Jesus is. We got to be full of the Word of God. We have to be full of the Word of God. God leads us through His Word. Now, how many times have we quoted this verse and don't really understand what it means, but it means so much? Your Word is a lamp unto my what? And a light unto my? Well, my Lord. His Word is a lamp to my feet. He showed me where to go. And He's a light to my path. You know, I make the mistake sometimes when I'm cutting out the lights before we go to bed, that I cut out the kitchen light and it's dark between the kitchen and the bedroom. And I know where the couch is. I've seen it every day ever since we've been living there. But I'll hit it every time. I'm telling you, I bump it every time. Why can't I get them? Because I can't see. I need a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. Brother Fred, I keep running into the same obstacles. I keep running into the same things. And it keeps messing me up. Well, listen, you need to keep let the Word of God be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. I guarantee you it'll direct you the right way. It will. Psalm 32, 23, and 24, he says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He orders our steps. He delights in His way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His hand. Do you believe that God, I'm closing with this, supernaturally leads people when it doesn't make a bit of sense? I remember I was sitting in the study of Woodlawn Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, Decatur, Georgia. God had blessed us amazingly. Our attendance had doubled. We started the first bus ministry in the Southern Baptist Convention and had 7 or 8 buses and 200 or 300 children coming in on our buses. We had to have 2 services. It was just, I mean, God was all over the place. And I was right in the center of His will. And I happened to pick up the Alabama Baptist, and it said that the pastor of Cottage Hill Baptist Church had resigned and gone somewhere else. And the Holy Spirit said to me, that's where you need to go. I said, wait a minute. I don't know nothing about that church. Nothing. I'm glad I didn't, because I'd have never gone if I'd have known. But anyway. But I said, Lord, now I tell you what. I believe you spoke to me. I believe, but I got to test it. So I contacted Roy Fish, who's a dear, dear brother of mine. And I said, Dr. Fish, I said, I really believe God wants me to be recommended to Cottage Hill Baptist Church in Mobile. I said, I don't know anything about it, but I feel a strong thing. And he said, well, I'll do it. I'll be glad to, Brother Fred. Well, it got over about December, and I told Dr. Fish that maybe in October. And I was sitting in my study one day, and I said, Lord, I wish those people from Cottage Hill would hurry up and get here and let us get this over with. And you know what? First Sunday in January, there they were. Now, I remember sitting at lunch with Harlan Taylor and somebody, I forgot who else was there. And I went home and told my wife. And you're talking about the supernatural leading of God, because I'd have never done it. Because we'd just moved into a new 1,800 square foot home. And that was big for us. And she got it furnished just like she wanted it. And I went home after eating lunch with Harlan Taylor and the other people and said, well, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to move to Mobile, Alabama. And Ed Keyes is going to be our music director. And Lynn Turner's going to be our youth director. She looked at me like, what have you been drinking? I mean, my God. But you know what? Within 1 month, I was at Cottage Hill Baptist Church. Within 2 months, Lynn Turner was at Cottage Hill Baptist Church. And in July, Ed Keyes was at Cottage Hill Baptist Church. The Lord says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Sometimes God will shake your world up because he wants to lead you into something that you did not know about. And you say, well, why did God do that? Can I tell you? There was a small remnant of people in Cottage Hill Baptist Church that were crying out to God for him to send them a pastor. They'd heard, gone to hear Jack Taylor preach and others. It wasn't a big group, but it was just a handful. And God answered their prayers. And I spent 25 years of my life in that place. You say, what a coincidence. You are backslid if you think that. That's the hand of God. And he's no respecter of persons. And the same God that led me, I guarantee you he'll lead you.